Hare Krishna. Today I want to welcome you very much from my heart. I feel very happy that we stay together and go through this seminar together, enlivening the spiritual heart in Krishna consciousness. Let me summarize for all of the devotees who have not been here every day, where we have arrived in our little journey. We started to speak about a new perspective to miseries in our lives, seeing them as the hammer of God who wants to make us into a nice ornament. Miseries, in other words, are also good because they help us to become more reflective, correct ourselves, and become more pleasing to Krishna. The second day was dedicated to improving our chanting of the holy name. And the third day, that was yesterday, was dedicated to increase our faith. Today we will enter into a very existential question, that is the question of the divided soul. The divided soul or divided self is an expression which really comes from spiritual psychology. The soul is always one. It can never be divided by a weapon or anything. But often a spiritual person discovers two natures in himself. And these two natures are sometimes opposed to each other. There is a self which wants spiritual life so much. It wants to pull the material self towards the altar of the Lord. But there seems to be another soul, which wants to pull us towards material life. And this struggle is called the struggle of the divided self. No less of a devotee than Arjuna asked Lord Krishna for a cure. He says, "My dear Lord, it seems to me that there is something in me which forces me to act against my real interest. What is that?" Hare Krishna. What this is, we will explain a little later. Embedded in the midst of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a very, very interesting Bhagavatam story about this divided self. There was once the great demon Vritasura, who had powers which no other politician had ever attained. Vritasura. He was a demon. He had controlled mostly all the areas of the universe. It became so impossible that the king of the Devatas, Indra, had to personally take all his armies, the armies of the godly people, and bring them to a battle against this Vritasura. Vritasura became ferocious in this battle. He ate all the armies of Indra. He grew to the sky. And he began to shout that Indra, so loud that Indra flew back by the sound. All of a sudden, however, a mystical change took place. Vritasura, the demon, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Oh my dear Lord, when will I again be a servant of your servants? When can I come back to you? I long for you like the bird for his mother and the calf for his mother, cow. Indra was thinking, do I hear properly? He's a demon. Why does he offer such prayers? Then Vritasura turned to Indra. Please, now kill me. I am tired of this material life. Indra couldn't speak. Please don't hesitate. Don't you know that you and me are like chess figures on the chessboard of the Lord? We have to act according to the plan of the Lord, and you are meant to take me out of this material existence. Indra took his Raja. He closed his eyes. He knew he had to kill a demon, a devotee, who acted only like a demon. And he cried while Vritasura left his body. Are we not all like this, Prabhus? A spiritual nature pulls us in one direction, but our material nature pulls us in another. Last time when I was in Russia, I think I told you how as a little child I had a little red bicycle. I had auctioned it for 5 German marks. And when I came back to the part where I lived, I was very proud that now I had my own red bicycle. And to show my intense happiness and pride, I decided to bicycle into the part of the town with a gesture of the victor, the victory, the hero. But my foolish little red bicycle pulled towards the right side and I fell into the gutters.
То есть я на самом деле проехал на этом велосипеде с поднятыми руками, но
Because it had an unnatural tendency to go to the right side. It was not going straight. Here, this is an analogy which shows we want to go straight in our spiritual life. But our conditioned nature pulls us sometimes, and we have smaller or bigger fall downs from the ideal route. We are divided souls. I would like to introduce to you now Mr. John Wesley. He was a slave driver. He caught slaves in Africa and brought them on his ship and sold them in England. As a child, he was abused on the ship of his father, who was also a slave catcher. Once, when he came back, he, on the ocean, was surprised by violent storms. And the storms became so heavy that the waves began to attack his ship and made it shipwreck. All the slaves and Mr. John Wesley started to drown in the stormy, wavy ocean. It was clear no one would survive. This time, John Wesley jumped on his knees and prayed to God, "If you save me, I will dedicate my life to you." Then a miracle happened. The Judah happened. No storm. The storm went away. And another ship was seen on the horizon, coming towards the sinking ship and saving all its the people on top of the ship. Later, John Wesley returned to England and he wrote a song about his experience. And I would like to play this song for you. The lines of the song are "Amazing Grace." Milost, yes. Chuda Milost. How sweet the sound that has saved a wretched sinner like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, so blind, but now I see. Amazing. Chuda Milost. Yes, amazing grace. This became the theme song of many young people in the West. Let us hear it for a while so that we can better appreciate what happened later. One friend of me sings it, and he is helped by the famous musician Sting, who used to be with a group called the Polis. So John Wesley thanked God with this and many other songs. The sinner had become a saint. He began to preach on the meadows, on the lawns of England, because he didn't have a building. And he gradually began to open his own little house where he made a room for his church. And now it has become a big congregation with many church buildings. But did he remain a saint? Did the previous slave driver, was he able to maintain his level? Sting, the same man who sang in this song, later expressed what happens on the way to God. All of a sudden, the saint can become a sinner again, because he is a divided self. His material self pulls him in one direction. We will now hear another very moving song, which is about a priest who became a sinner. He describes that because he did a sin, he cannot show his face any longer in the sunshine. He can only go out in the night, because people know of his failure. Raja Renu Prabhu will read to you the story of the song. It was many years ago. Loud
and clear. Уж много лет прошло с тех пор, как я стал таким. Я запутался в жизни, как неискушенный ангел. Теперь я не могу казать своего лица при свете дня, и увидеть меня можно только при свете луны. Края моей шляпы закрывают хищные глаза, лицо пастыря на руки грешника. Но вы не увидите меня и не услышите моих шагов, когда над Бёрбен-стрит светит луна. Она живет в Нью-Орлеане и ходит по его улице. Она невинная вина, ее семья в высшей степени благополучия. О, сколько ночей я провел под ее окном, томимый страсть под тусклым светом луны. Как мог я стать таким? Ведь Господь никогда не уходил из моих молитв. Я влюблен в то, с чем борюсь, и разрушаю то, что люблю. И вы никогда не увидите меня и не услышите моих шагов.
How could I be this way when I pray to God above? I must love what I destroy and destroy the thing I love. A divided self. Gaurahari. the spiritual paths and all the religions have examples who can sing this song, a song of failure. So many started their spiritual journey also in Krishna consciousness with the best intentions. They hoped that in a few years they would become self-realized. But they had to face their other self. A conditioned, weak human being, attached to selfish desires, bad in the heart, bad character, fallen, low class. And this conditioned nature pulled them again into material life. Is there a cure for the divided soul? In other words, how can we become one? One in intent and also one in achievement. Prabhupada writes about the struggle of the two natures in our hearts in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 30. It's the verse where Lord Krishna says that even if my devotee sometimes does an abominable activity, he is considered to be a saint if he is on the right path. Please note the wordings of our good Lord Krishna. He speaks of an abominable sight in his devotee. And he has understanding for this material sight. He says, even if sometimes due to circumstances my devotee is found to give in to this abominable nature, I understand, and in my eyes he is still my good devotee. Krishna sees, in other words, this is a problem. Oh yeah, Raja Renu is also. Yeah. Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. And I strongly want to encourage you to find this purport and read it in your sweet Russian language. He says, sometimes our material and our spiritual nature go parallel without disturbance next to each other. But then they go against each other. There is conflict. You know this, you are in the tent and you are very concentrated on spiritual subjects, but all of a sudden you look to the attractive Matajis. Or the Matajis did not really want to think of men in this spiritual festival. But all of a sudden they find themselves that this Maya Devi tendency comes out. this nature to draw attention. Lipstick and then yes. But this doesn't need any translation. It is universally known. So sometimes it goes parallel without disturbance. But at other times there are accidents on the way to heaven. You know, and we feel embarrassed. Now Krishna says, no problem. If the devotee remains on the proper path. But Prabhupada also makes a point. He says, no one should take advantage of the merciful nature of the Lord and intentionally do glupost or nonsense, thinking that the Lord will forgive him. This when you do this, you know, exploit the mercy of the Lord to be a nonsense, that is the greatest sin really. This festival is dedicated to His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Maharaj was very kind to me personally, and even when he was preparing to leave this world, he requested me to do one service for him. He wanted me to write the foreword of his last book, Die Before Dying. So we communicated on the telephone. What I said, I'm very honored, Maharaj. Please tell me what you would like, how you would like the foreword to be written, and then I will serve you in whatever way I can. And he took the humble role. Whatever you want to write, Maharaj. But we had contact over the email and telephone till very late into his illness. Then one day he wrote me an email and said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to communicate with you any longer on the email because my body is quickly deteriorating. I'm happy I met you, but it seems from now on we will associate in our dreams. I thought, how nice of him to speak like this to me. But I also thought, is it possible to come in one's dream and then into a friend's dream and then talk with him in the dream? Then 3 days before Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left, he actually appeared in my dream. He said, I came to say goodbye. I'm leaving in 2 or 3 days. But I have one last message. A message of a friend to another friend. my dear devotees. I was so moved. I said, Maharaj, is it you? Is it you who I am seeing? Is it you who I am seeing now? Yes. Would you all like to know his last message? It has so much to do with the subject of the divided self. He looked straight into my eyes. And he said, Maharaj, in our hearts are two dogs. They fight with each other. Who of them will win the fight? I don't know. And let us put the philosophy aside. How are you? How is it like to die? But he wouldn't come onto my level where I asked my question. He looked even more intense. Who of the two dogs will win the fight? I don't know, Maharaj. You please answer your own question. Sisigon nitai ki jai. Then he looked into my face, and I will never ever forget what he said. That dog will win the fight whom you give food. I'm very happy that you immediately understand what he meant. We have to feed our spiritual natures, my dear devotees. So that we can become strong in Krishna consciousness. We have to every day do this. Our material natures, our material dog always gets food in the world. Each sense has food. The eyes have form as food. The nose has smell as food. The ear has sound as food. The skin has touch as food. And what did we forget? The tongue? No, we always get something to eat. Yes. But what is the food which... And our material dog always becomes strong and stronger. It's like a perfect thief of the sense objects. It knows where to get its food. And the stronger it becomes, the more aggressive it becomes. You know, people who are rich and beautiful and learned, who have fed their material dogs very well, seem to be very unspiritual often. Because the material dog is such a rascal, it will attack the spiritual dog. Viff, 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 and bite it. Yes, yes, yes. Therefore, we have to make a conscious endeavor to feed our spiritual side. And become spiritually very strong. Now the spiritual side should not do what the material dog does with the spiritual side. A spiritual person should not kill the body or the mind. The spiritual person should not kill the material dog, in other words. It should give it enough food. Not too much, not too little. Krishna speaks about this, one who doesn't eat too much and who does not eat too little. He's a yogi. The one who doesn't relax or rest too much, nor one who relaxes too little. Huh? It must be in the middle. A responsible spiritual person will take care of his material surroundings in a way that he can progress without obstacles. Because if the material obstacles are too great, if he has not eaten enough or not rested enough, he cannot pursue his spiritual advancement. I think we all know this on a festival. When we just go into the kirtans from morning till evening and to all the seminars and so on, at the end we have a nervous breakdown. If we don't take care of the bodies sufficiently, then we can also not become successful. How can you take care of the spiritual side in you, or the Prabhupada calls it the constitutional nature of the soul? This is explained very nicely by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very practical tip, and please listen to this now, because this is maybe the essence of the seminar. He says that a devotee engages his senses under the direction of his spiritual master in the service of Krishna. And therefore he makes Krishna the object of his senses. Let me give you some examples. We look at the deity. Our tongue eats what has been offered to the Lord and is now spiritual food. Our ears hear spiritual music. Kirtan. This evening Nam Yagya. And our bodies, we associate with devotees. We even embrace devotees. Mataji's the man, the man. And in this way we have, you know, we engage all our senses. Krishna consciousness, if you look at it, is a spiritual sense engagement. Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchati. To serve with the senses, the Lord of the senses, this is called Bhakti, says the Narada Pacharatna. Narada. Yeah. My dear devotees, find out how you can engage your senses and your mind with a spiritual reality. This means feeding the spiritual side in you. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. He says, sometimes it happens that a devotee does not give spiritual engagement to his senses. And then his life is material. Thus a devotee's body has two aspects. Either a spiritual or a material. Therefore, dear devotees, give bhakti to your spiritual side. And he quotes the verse, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo, by Bhakti you make an experience of the Lord. By Bhakti you feel satisfied. And by Bhakti you feel detachment from the world of Maya. And an example is given. Like a person who eats, he first will feel top notes, very good. Then he will feel some sense of nourishment. And then after some time, the time comes where he says, I'm full, I don't want more. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we always want more bhakti. A devotee will never renounce bhakti. He wants more and more. Because he gets such strength from it. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends his purport. He says, therefore, my dear devotees, don't remain hungry. I would like to end with a letter from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had once, when he was translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he sent a letter to all the temples all over the world with one particular verse and purport from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, devotees remain strong and stout by daily hearing the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna and Chaitanya. If devotees only eat grains, then they become spiritually weak. This is the verse. And then Prabhupada repeats the essential statement in his purport again. He says, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement must daily read the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is important for you. Also this evening I want to request all of you to come and sing together with all the devotees the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This will be spiritual food. Yes, the Nam Yagya means spiritual food for the spiritual side in us. In your own town you can eat prasadam and you can read, but you cannot chant with 2,000 devotees. So this evening no one should remain hungry. You should eat a lot of holy name. I want to make one last point from Srila Prabhupada about the subject of the divided self. I forgot. Once a guest said, Prabhupada, what should we do if we want Krishna consciousness, but there is a side in us which wants also material life? Prabhupada gave a very surprising answer. He said, do you want to die? The guest thought Prabhupada had not understood his question. No, Swamiji, I'm talking now about something else. We want spiritual advancement, but there is something which pulls us to the material world. What should we do? Srila Prabhupada said, first answer my question. Do you want to die? The guest said, No, Swamiji. Do you want to become diseased? By now the guest was surrendered. He said, No, Swamiji. Do you want to become old? No, Swamiji. And do you want to take birth again? No. Then use your intelligence, said Prabhupada. Don't go to the material world. Don't try to enjoy the illusion. Take to Krishna consciousness in all earnestness. Do you understand his point? We cannot win when we give the material dog its food. It only opens the door to birth, old age, disease and death. In other words, material existence. So the cure for the priest who had fallen down with the lady, the cure of the priest, the cure also for the Hare Krishna devotee who wants to advance, is the cure for the divided soul. You should know how to feed your spiritual life. This every one of you has to find out. Yes, there are general instructions how to chant with concentration. But you have to find out how it will work for you. Yes, there are general instructions about everything in Krishna consciousness by the kindness of Srila Prabhupada. But each one of you has to apply them in his or her own private or personal life. Because each one of you has two natures in the heart. And that nature will win whom you give the most food to. Thank you very much.